That is The Teardrop Explodes with Trees, and it's just a story. Before that, we had Emperor of the Sun with Alive. It's just coming up to 11:30 at Phoenix 98 FM. Now, my guest in the studio today is Carol Finney, who is an accredited cognitive behavioural psychotherapist, and we're going to be talking... we're going to be talking about World Mental Health Day, which is on October the 10th. Thanks very much. You came in early... it was last year. I thought it was this year. It's going so quick. And we had a chat before, and we had a really good chat, and I remember Paul sent me the email and said, I said, we must have her in again. She's really interesting.
Thank you.
So it's lovely to see you back in the studio. Now, first of all, if you can just tell us about your work as a cognitive behavioural psychotherapist and what type of clients you see and what you can actually offer people to help.
The main type of clients I see are people with anxiety and or depression. CBT works on the idea that the way we think influences our mood and our behaviour.
Yeah.
Some people often, when they're depressed, may end up doing more of something or less of something, but often it's unhelpful to them or themselves.
Yeah.
So we do various CBT things that will help them. They may be looking at the way they think, trying to record their behaviour and encouraging them to do more activity, which we call behavioural activation. There's lots of different languages for it, but the basic thing is to just increase people's enjoyment and to be aware that sometimes how we think can influence our behaviour. And an example may be, imagine that you're in the street in Brentwood and somebody you know very well walks by you, and I wonder what you'd think. You might think, oh, they've ignored me. I wonder what I've done. Mm. And your mood might be fed up, and you might go home and just sit there and wonder about it. But when you talk to the friend, they might say, oh, I never saw you. I had something in my mind. I'm really sorry about that.
Yeah.
So just because we think something or make sense of something, it doesn't mean it's true. But we need to be checking these things out constantly, because we're very easy. We can jump to conclusions about things and, in fact, be quite wrong.
Yeah. Are you finding that you're seeing more people? I know I always harp on about the recession and everything. I always harp on a miserable. But are you seeing more people, would you say, with depression-related mental health issues than anything else? I mean, are you saying that you're getting busier with seeing people?
My work certainly has increased. And interesting enough, I think it's more with anxiety, because anxiety is about that uncertainty, and I think people are feeling that now. Also, I think more people are aware that it's okay, you know, to seek help.
Yeah.
And it's quite empowering. But that big first step, I often say to people when they come to my consulting room, you know, I really admire you for coming here, because it's a big thing to do. It's a serious thing to go into therapy and not to be taken lightly.
And, you know, you can see somebody maybe a few times, or would you say is there a course that people need to do, or depends on the individual?
No, I think that's a good point. I think an experienced therapist will always have a rough idea, but of course we're all different. Generally, CBT is quite short term. About 12 sessions is the most, because it's very focused. If you're not prepared to work and do in-between session work, CBT isn't really for you.
Yeah.
So it is. It's quite short-term, as I say, very focused, and people don't tend to get into long-term therapy, because actually it can work on the past, but we tend to work on the here and now. Because you might say, you know, just because you use it, you know, 50 years ago you were assaulted. That shows my age, doesn't it? But you're also having a problem now. We'd work on the problem that's happening now, because that's what's affecting you.
Yeah.
But the thing I like about CBT and why I went into it is because I love that collaboration with the patient, and also it really empowers the patient. Continually, a good CBT therapist is getting the client to be their own therapist and working from discharge the day they come in and sit in your room.
Yeah. Is it different from being... I have seen a counsellor. I saw a counsellor probably about, I don't know, 7 or 8 years ago when I was going through quite a bad time. Had too many things all sort of uploaded at once. But they just said, well, tell me how you feel about that. And I thought, well, I wanted some help. So what you do is you actually give people... It's kind of getting them to actually... do stuff to change the way of thinking. So it's different from being going to a counsellor. When I went to see a counsellor, I felt that I didn't get any... I was talking to somebody and then just going home.
Right.
And doing nothing.
I think counselling and CBT, they're different things for different people. I would say for CBT, it's very goal-focused.
Yeah.
It's short-term. When a session starts, we have an agenda, so we know exactly what we're talking about. a session is only as good as what you bring.
Yeah.
So the therapist will have done a very detailed assessment, doing some brief psychological testing for depression and anxiety, if that's relevant. But then you'll be given techniques to manage. And as I said, the in-between homework is important.
Yeah.
The research shows that the people who do the homework are the people who not only get better quicker, but the chance of relapse are less.
Yeah.
So it's much more goal-focused, it's short-term and very patient-orientated. And the clear thing is that collaboration with the patient.
Yeah. Now, World Mental Health Day is on October the 10th. So tell us all about, how that came about. I mean, how did that come about?
Well, the main aspect was the World Health Organization. They recognised that depression was going to be like a time bomb in our society. So they discussed with world leaders, really trying to raise the profile of it. And my understanding is every year, health ministers from all around the world get together to look at, what are the key points of mental illness. And really that's how it came about. Different, obviously, countries that are more proactive, like Britain, do a lot on world mental health and a lot generally for their people with mental illness and trying to prevent it.
Mm.
And that's how it came around. But of course, it should be something we should be doing all the time.
Yeah.
If we look at the moment, one in four people will have a mental health problem, which is that's a big percentage of people. And yet still these people are not only treated with stigma, but it results in them not wanting to go for help because of the problems it can have, not only personally, but in their professional life as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's different from probably back in the 70s when you just wouldn't even... I think people would put on things like Ativan. I remember my mum and dad talking about it, which was, I think it's a Valium-based drug, which you then got hooked on and you couldn't get off of for years and years. It's a little bit easier now. People will actually say, I've suffered from depression, whereas years ago, people you would have brushed it under the carpet.
That's
although it's still
true.
Not if you're in a workplace situation, and if you're a boss or whether whatever job you do, you'd be very reluctant to tell somebody probably in a work based situation that you do have depression, because you know that it could actually affect your job.
Yes, sadly that's true. In some organizations people are actually actively encouraged to apply because they have a mental illness, because they believe it will help. Certainly in big organisations, I think there's much more a more positive attitude now and more things put in place. And I think organisations should do sort of preventative work like stress management, like looking at things that cause depression, looking at work areas and people's attitudes to try and either stop or slow the possibility that may happen.
Now, in Brentwood, we are quite lucky, but what services are available locally for people? If they're out there at the moment and they're thinking, I possibly think I might have depression, I'm just not feeling right, I'd like to be able to... Obviously, they can see you, but there are other organisations they can see.
Oh, absolutely. The most common mental illness, as identified by the World Health Organisation, is a mixture between depression and anxiety.
Yeah.
In Brentwood, we do have there are various organisations, as you say, statutory and voluntary. The key person is your general practitioner. You'll find them really helpful. And something that I've found is also that even that the staff in the health centre can be incredible, recognising if you go and you're upset, they will help you.
Yeah.
Other things to look at, of course, are South Essex Partnership Trust, which is a local mental health trust. They have a huge array of help. And as this year, the World Health Organisation every year have a topic, and this year it's the older person. We have a very good older person's team based at Highwood.
Yeah.
And there's other resources that your GP can refer you to. And you can also look on what they call SEPT, which is South Essex Partnership Trust website. And in fact, they will have a display on Friday at the library, which I'm going to pick up from Runwell Hospital for them.
Talk about that bit at the end. Just going to say, we were talking about the fancy dress costume. It's been in the papers.
Yes.
Which was by, I won't say which one, well-known supermarket chain, which has been subsequently removed because of the obviously outcry. What are your thoughts on that, and what effect has it had? Because in a way it's had a positive effect, because people have actually stood up and said, you're not doing that, that's not what we're about. So
yes.
What are your thoughts on that?
I think ironically at first I was incensed, but when I really thought about it, and I thought that of the the attention mental health is getting, I thought, no, this is a good thing, actually.
Yeah.
And it helped people talk. People were coming out and saying, well, I do have a mental health problem. Where can I go? So in a way, that kind of attention turned it round. I thought it was a bit sad that Sainsbury's, who actually give millions to mental health through their Sainsbury's organisation, they didn't say, but look, we do some work. So ironically, I know initially the costumes, it was an awful thing to happen, but I think it really added something, and certainly added to the debate, and heightened up that people should be looking around but what's happened, but, and looking after their own mental health as well.
Now, if you're living with somebody, or you're living with somebody, or you know somebody you suspect might be having depression, because I know sometimes people can mask it and you can't tell at all. That's, people commit suicide and they leave no notes, and people say, I've got no idea, we didn't know. What is there signs that you can look out for, the little signs that might mean that somebody is on the edge of doing something? Because it does happen. People do this, and people will never know.
I have to say, it's obviously you've read up in the subject, and I really am grateful for that.
Oh, that's okay.
I think it's very difficult being a carer, I think, and I think in our society they don't get enough credence, and certainly financially or health authorities need to look at what supports them. Mm. I think if you're living with or know somebody, what we've picked in depression, the things you might notice, and your point about it being masked is very true, and I'd like to come on to the topic of suicide if possible.
Yep.
But ideas, small things might be things that maybe they're irritable, short-tempered, maybe they don't want to eat, they can't be bothered, maybe they get a bit forgetful. I know we all do, but if you're feeling low, it's hard to concentrate, maybe they get a bit disorganised. And sometimes we can't always tell what the illness is, but if that person's not usually like that, I think it's worth talking to them. And of course, some people may say, no, I'm absolutely fine. But if you're at all concerned, and I'm kind of mindful here about younger people, particularly young men between the ages of 18 and 24, if you're at all concerned, go and see their GP and talk to them. It's no point later saying, but what if? I think it's dealing with it now and trying to get help. And there is organisations that will help young people around here voluntary. Yeah. But your GP, again, is the key person to be asking. And if you're at all concerned, don't hesitate to go and get that help that you can.
Yeah. The thing is, if you are, you could be out there listening now and you can feel absolutely dreadful. And the thing is, there is always help. It's sometimes very difficult to ask for help, but there is always help. And life is so great, isn't it? I mean, you look outside, the sun's out, and even if the sun's not out and the weather's rubbish, it's still great to be alive and be fit enough to walk around and do stuff. So there is always help. So with suicide, what actually happens to a person that they get to that? What happens? Is the brain not thinking straight, or do people think they are thinking straight? Do you get confused in what you're doing? How does that a person and get to that stage?
I think there's actually several different reasons for suicide, and I'm not going to cover them all, but we'll look at the one with the person who's depressed. The things that you mentioned about getting help is, I think, a thing to ask yourself, or somebody to ask you, if you weren't in this state now, is it possible that how you are, that's why you're depressed? You wouldn't be thinking about this if you weren't depressed. It's an illness. And for some people, when they feel depressed, they may feel that, you know, there's nothing worth living for.
Yeah.
And they really believe that. They may feel that other people are better without them. And they may feel that maybe it's a release. You do hear also, of course, of people saying, well, my attempt was really a cry for help because they just don't know what else to say. And unfortunately, they're not always treated well.
Yeah.
But really, it's because they just don't know what else to do.
Yeah.
And they're desperate. Yeah. And we know that there are organisations you can phone. If you have these feelings or thoughts at this moment, I would really suggest you get yourself to A&E, take yourself to the police station, walk up to your GP's surgery, but go to somebody now.
Or the Samaritans, because they're straight on the phone. Yep.
And Samaritans will see you face to face as well.
All right.
So there is lots of help there, but don't keep these thoughts to yourself.
Now, we were at Brentwood Library on Friday the 11th.
Right. Yeah.
Now, I'm going to get this wrong because, you know, my pronunciation is wrong. Statutory organisations, they're all getting together to show all the resources and what they can offer.
Absolutely.
So that's on. So you've got to go off and get some loads of leaflets and bits and pieces of you for Friday.
Yeah.
What time's it open on Brentwood Library?
I think it's going to be from 10 o'clock onwards.
Yeah.
But really, just come down to say hello, see what's there. There's a lot of emphasis on self-help. So understand later that the radio station will have some stuff on their website about self-help. Also, interactive free computer set things that can help people with depression. But the library's going to have books, as you say. There'll be posters, resources, and people that you can talk to, and also help for carers too, and young people. Carers certainly are overlooked very badly, and particularly those with older people.
Yeah, definitely. It's been great to have you in the studio today. If people want to come along and see you, because I think you've got you can't see, but she's got a tremendous lovely smile and everything.
She's really
easy to talk to. I'm going to talk to her for hours. So if people want to come and see you, where can they find out? And we will put the information up on the website, but where would they need to look for you?
You mean at the library on Friday?
For your own sort of practice as well.
Oh, I see. Well, you can come and have a chat brief at the library. But if you wanted to... You could phone me on 066-07-66-906-246.
Right.
Or email it at thebrentwoodtherapist@gmail.com.
Okay, and we will put those details up. So don't forget, World Mental Health Day on the 10th. And if you get down to the Brentwood Library on the 11th, you'll find out there's loads of information.
Please don't think, although my business is professional CBT, if you have a brief question you want to ask me, you're more than welcome to ring me. And I could maybe signpost you to the right place, but certainly if you need help, your GP is key here, and we'll signpost you to the right resource for you. But whatever you're feeling or thinking, if you feel ill, please get help. Don't keep it to yourself.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Lovely to see you again. Hopefully you'll come in again soon. Don't leave it so long this time. I can't believe it's such a long
time.
Right, it's 11:47.